Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard, as promised yesterday. Today we're going to talk about an article called The Big Stall.
Right.
And the whole thing with this article is talking about, you know, are we neglecting one group by working so hard to foster and help another group? And for the purpose of this week, we're talking about gender.
Right. There's some alarming information in this article.
Yeah.
We said yesterday in an earlier podcast that we find, at least I did, I found much of the information in these articles to be alarming and bordering on disturbing,
mm-hmm.
because it's information that I hadn't really given much thought to.
Right.
There's a generation of males, maybe at least a generation of males, that is really struggling.
Right.
And I was blissfully unaware of it.
Right.
And this article sort of brought it into stark relief.
Right. Okay.
So, some alarming statistics here.
Yeah. So this is an article called The Big Stall. It's from mm-hmm. Psychology Today. Right. And it was published, this one's a little bit older. This was from last year, March 2016.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it is all about this, you know, this dissonance, this difference mm-hmm. between what we're seeing as we see women sort of progressing in some areas.
Right.
We're seeing men kind of fall behind mm-hmm. in some areas.
Right.
And so, and it's in all areas, not just at school, but also at work and mm-hmm. in social and right. relationship life.
Yeah. And this is another one of those articles where much of the research was, much of the data was derived from college students mm-hmm. because they're available, but it also gives us a microcosm of males and females
right.
Working, you know, being
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
and competing on pretty much level terrain, or what
right.
what we typically think of as level terrain.
Right.
And so once again, we see this disparity about 60% of undergraduates now are females,
mm-hmm.
so they have clearly overtaken
yeah.
males. It should be about 50-50. I think it's 51-49.
Yeah.
I think 51% men and 49%
right.
women. So, but it should be about equal, but it's 60%. And then 58% of graduate degrees are earned by women. So
right.
again, we see women sort of getting ahead of men in
yeah.
these regards. By contrast, in 1970,
mm-hmm.
20% of psychology graduate students were women.
Right.
I did my first degree in the 80s. And I think it was evening. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think there were as many women as men.
And that was in education.
It was in both. It was a dual.
Right.
So I was in psychology and education.
Right.
Education, it was clearly women.
Right.
Predominated.
Right.
But in psychology, it was about even. I think there were about as many. I wasn't aware of any gender sex
mm-hmm.
difference. So in 1970, 20% of psychology graduate students were women. Today, it's 70%.
Right.
So there's been a huge change.
Yeah.
And as women, and this article is called The Big Stall, the thesis of this mm-hmm. article is that as women advance, as women are advancing, men seem to be stalled.
Right.
There's something happening to men.
Right. And you know, there's the... as I was reading some of this, one of the things that it made me think about is, are we talking about one of those... what is it called, a zero-sum game?
That's right.
Is there only so much? And so if one group is going to get more
right.
of it, there, mm-hmm. then the other group is going to have to get less
right.
of it.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that should be the case. It doesn't seem like it should be that way, because there are certainly plenty of graduate programs and plenty
right.
of college
mm-hmm.
placement.
Mm-hmm.
there's plenty of colleges out there where people can get degrees in different things.
Right.
So why is it that... just because one group is increasing in numbers, that the
right.
other group is decreasing in numbers, it doesn't necessarily make sense.
Well, one of these articles talks about that men may be looking at this as a zero-sum game.
Right.
When there are a limited number of seats in universities. There are a limited number of jobs. There are a limited number of possibilities. Mm-hmm. And as women get more, and this article, they say women are ahead of men by about 10%. Right. It doesn't matter what we measure, whether it's enrollment or graduate or degrees or whatever it is, that men seem to, or women seem to be, represent about 10% more of the population than and men tend to think of it as a zero-sum game.
Right.
That's what researchers are afraid of,
right,
is that men are thinking of this as a zero-sum game, and as a result, they're dropping out. They're not, they talk about motivation, is they're not motivated to succeed the way women are.
And a lot of this, you know, it makes me think back to, in graduate school, we studied, in like social psychology and stuff, we studied, you know, image and how people relate different things to different groups. And, you know, that, you know, when you're thinking about things like marketing and you're thinking about things like, you know, portraying a product or something that you want to put out there, you know, if you want, if it's a product just for females, then you would have female actors in the in the ad. But if you wanted the product to be for males and females, you would have males in the ad, because females will buy things even if males are in the ad, but males won't buy things if females are in the ad.
Right.
And there's a little bit of, that's a little bit aged, but it makes me think about this when it comes to these things that, okay, so if we, it almost makes me think conspiratorially.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, we had this big push of for STEM, right? And
STEM, that, they now call that STEMinism.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's terrible. but you think about, you know, this big push for STEM, and that came right at the time that we started seeing this shift in numbers. While at the same time we sort of hold on to this somewhat false belief, false perspective, that those STEM subjects are more male-driven than female-driven.
Right.
In that, you know, more males go into engineering and mathematics and things like that than females. Again, as we said yesterday, not for any particular biological reason.
Right.
There's probably a social construct to that. But it's fascinating to me that we have these sort of cultural shifts that happen. And again, if we're thinking about it from a zero-sum perspective,
right,
perhaps that makes sense that males are sort of trying to find some way to shift a little bit more of the pie into their direction,
right,
into a direction that they may feel more comfortable with.
Right.
But you're right. When it comes to a lot of these areas, there's not, you know, women are starting to far outnumber men.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
in some fields.
In some fields.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the numbers are getting concerning as it relates just to men, having men in the field.
Right. I first became aware of this when I was at the University of Texas. And we had a doctoral program there, and there were 13 or 14 students admitted each year. And there might be one or two males.
Right.
The rest were all females in a very prestigious PhD program.
In my program, the year that I was accepted, there were seven of us accepted into my program. I was the only male. The year before me, I think that they had 13, and there was only one male in that in that group. And so out of 2 years, 20-some-odd, about 20 students, only two males in that whole cohort.
Now,
those two cohorts.
In keeping with this, what's happening to males, this question of what's happening to males, the other alarming piece of information is that in advanced countries, these are industrialized Western European American countries, the physical and mental health of men are both declining.
Right.
And I really wasn't aware of that. So there seems to be, it raises the question of whether there's some broader implication in this information. And what some people are beginning to postulate is that as women rise, improve, advance, it is affecting men's motivation and their engagement, their willingness to engage. And as a result, and this is the most frightening part of this, because they're not engaging in real stuff They're disengaging from classrooms. They're disengaging from relationships. They're disengaging from moving toward the future. And instead, they're caught up in gaming, mm-hmm. pornography, and fantasy sports, like right. fantasy football. They're putting their energy into these non-real mm-hmm. activities.
Right.
We see it in sports,
right.
youth sports.
Right.
Fewer and fewer kids. And we say, well, is it because we expect kids to devote so much time? If you're going to be good, you have to play year-round mm-hmm. and travel teams. But there is the possibility that men are disengaging from real endeavors, and they're engaging in these fantasy endeavors.
Yeah.
That's alarming.
Yeah. And concerning, because it is in what we see statistically, it's starting younger and younger.
Right.
You know, the vast, you know, whenever somebody talks about someone being addicted mm-hmm. to gaming, we had a whole week right. on gaming last week. But when we talk about that, we're almost, not completely, but almost exclusively talking about boys.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost. Very few situations do we talk right. about girls being addicted to gaming. And so, yeah, you're right. We have this sort of disengagement right. from academics, from professional, mm-hmm. The professional world. And it is a little bit alarming.
You bring up a good point. If you look at elementary school students, We encourage our daughters to work, and they can become anything. Mm-hmm. Play softball, play volleyball, play soccer, even football. Okay,
right. You go to medical school, even academically.
We're pushing and pushing and pushing. And the assumption is that the boys are going to do okay. They
right.
don't need to be nurtured. And
right.
that's what everybody's talking about today in this. That it is great that we're pushing on it. You and I both have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we want them to become
right.
whatever they want to be. So there is a personal aspect in this. So we push our daughters in a way that we don't push our boys
mm-hmm.
because we assume, well, boys have an advantage
right.
anyway. They don't need it.
Right.
Maybe they do need it.
Right.
So as a result, even in elementary school, you see the boys disengaging from
right.
school while the girls are engaging more
mm-hmm.
and including STEM.
Yeah.
Boys are disengaging.
Yeah.
Okay. Now
you're right. That's interesting.
Right, and when they disengage, there is this it for boys. There seems to be an inverse relationship between girls' achievement and their self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
and their self-esteem continues to go down as girls are succeeding.
Right.
Theirs is going down. For example, Psychology Today did a study of 500 men, and one of the questions was, "What bothers you most about your current circumstances?" And to paraphrase, it said the fear of keeping up,
mm-hmm.
the fear that we're not keeping mm-hmm. up to the girls.
Right.
Okay. Now, we know that we've always said, especially elementary schools, are designed for girls.
Right.
You know, and we used to
yeah.
laugh about that because we were thinking it from a behavioral standpoint.
Right.
Boys like to move around and
yeah,
all that
yeah.
stuff. But maybe it's more important than that. You know,
yeah.
girls are designed for elementary schools are designed for girls. And that's great for girls. But what is it doing to boys? And it's not just
yeah.
behavioral. It could be a self-esteem motivation issue as well.
Right. And I think that I'm at fault with some of this as well, because I think that I have myself mm-hmm. consistently or traditionally, typically, thought of, you know, we know that, you know, if we're going to be honest and we're going to, you know, talk about reality, things have traditionally been designed more in the male's favor. And so, you know,
right.
sort of socially, culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you know, we still haven't had a female president, and we still, you know, we still have situations where right. here in the 21st century, we have the first female anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's mm-hmm. remarkable to think about that we could have had, you know, a history of, you know, hundreds of years, you know, here in the United States, where we haven't had a female serve a particular role,
right.
you know? So that's remarkable for a lot of reasons. But, you know, so I know that I have traditionally thought of, you know, it's things are much easier for males. You know, the system is sort of designed to support males. And I think that in some ways that's still the case. But you're right. In making that assumption, what we've done is we've worked to help foster, you know, females, and assumed that males are going to do okay because they have traditionally done okay, we're sort of letting them drop behind.
Right. The system was stacked in their favor to begin with, so let's raise the girls up, get them equal to men. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're exceeding men.
Right.
And
which is fine.
Which is okay. I want the girls to succeed.
Well, I think where I was catching myself with saying it's fine. It's fine that we're supporting them. I think that we have to be careful that we don't create a scenario where either group has that much more of an advantage than the other group. Mm-hmm. I think that both groups need to be supported.
Right.
Because, you know, success and the progression of us as a species, as a culture, you know, is going to depend on both genders. Right. So it's important that we're fostering both of them.
Right. I want to make, there's one other point that they make in this article, and I know this will be of interest to you. You and I have discussed this many times, not in this way, mm-hmm. but it was another one of those aha experiences.
Right.
So because boys are not engaging in this long trek to achievement the mm-hmm. way girls are. Girls work hard in elementary school, middle school, high school, college. So there's this long effort, prolonged effort that they put into it. And boys are disengaging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to make it, boys are doing gaming and pornography mm-hmm. and all that. To make it, boys are saying, well, I think I'll develop an app.
Right.
And they call it, there's even a name for it, they call it the app trap.
Yeah.
Rather than working as hard as the girls, they're thinking, I'll hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I'll develop an app and become another. Or I want to develop a video game
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that everybody will want. And once again, it's not reality because most people are not going to develop the next Mortal Kombat what is that game called?
I don't know. This is fun.
COD. Call of Duty. I have to do letters, right? The chances are you're not going to develop the next Call of Duty. You're not going to become fabulously wealthy. You're not going to create Facebook. You're not going to create Microsoft. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not going to be a rock star.
Yeah.
No matter how much you think you're going to do this.
The probability is so low.
The probability of that is so low as to be non-existent.
Right.
But many boys are living in this, many 20-year-old males are living in this fantasy world that I'll stay home in a dark bedroom and create the next multi-million dollar video game or website or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But they're disengaging. The issue is, and what they're saying is the boys are disengaging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one other thing he says, and I didn't know about this, and I have to talk to some people about it. Young white males
mm-hmm.
are the least desirable demographic. They're the least desirable college student.
Mm-hmm.
They're the least desirable employee. You know, if a company can hire a woman mm-hmm. or a minority, there's an enhancement. There's an incentive mm-hmm. to do that. I don't know what it would feel like to be the least, to know that you're the least desirable demographic.
Yeah. And the question that I would have, you know, to extend that just a little bit is, do they know that they're the least desirable?
That's my question.
Because we know that, we know from the other statistics that, international statistics, that although the United States fares far below mm-hmm. a lot of other countries as it mm-hmm. relates to academics and things like that, we are number one by a long shot as it relates to confidence and self-esteem.
Yes, that's right. We think we're really good.
Right. So do... Is there this relationship between the reality of being less desirable?
Right.
Is there a big difference between that reality and the perceived reality that they have of being, you know, the confidence that they have? I think it's fascinating that these, you know, 20-something-year-old males think that they can create the next multi-million-dollar app.
Right.
It's like, you know, what do you know about programming?
I like video games.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about. Like, I'm going to go to medical school, but I have a 2.3 grade point average.
That dissonance is fascinating.
Right.
So.
But I agree with you. I don't know whether they know.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear, here's the other thing. I hear men and women in their 20s mm-hmm. talk about affirmative action.
Right.
And they're opposed to it.
Right.
And what this issue came up again. It's mm-hmm. it's going through the Supreme Court right now, the University of Texas case. And you hear white males and females say they're opposed. These are college mm-hmm. students or college graduates.
Mm-hmm.
They're opposed to affirmative action. I don't think they know this part of affirmative action, however. Mm-hmm. I always think of it, well, you're a race, you know, you're being yeah. racist. It could be a much more complicated issue than that.
Right.
Because if these boys know
right.
that they're the least desirable demographic, I understand a little bit better now why they feel the way that they do.
Right.
Now, they're on the other end of that discrimination mm-hmm. stick, which is another whole issue that
right.
we don't want to get into. Now we're talking about just men and women,
right?
Rather yeah. than students of color, but it raises that question: do they know?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's it becomes much more complicated than
right.
again when you know as we said in the
that's what we said at the beginning.
This is looking into this has really introduced a whole lot of other thoughts and ideas than we had really thought about before.
I've had a bunch of ahas
mm-hmm.
As I've scratched around in this
yeah.
in this world.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit embarrassing to yeah. admit that I didn't really know all this stuff.
Yeah, well, it's just an indication of how complex all of this stuff is. So
that every issue is complex.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, all right,
okay.
That is it for today. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time. Yeah, until next time.
There is
there's so much more to talk about.
I know.
So many more things going through my head. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.